welcome to episode 11 of the Happy Teacher Pod, and today we are talking about the big O, the inspection people, because obviously in a private school, didn't know this until we were planning this podcast, they're not called Ofsted when they go to a private school. What they're are they not. Called?
Yeah, so anyone that was wondering what the big O is, it stands for Ofsted, in case you didn't know that. ISI, the Independent Schools Inspectorate.
Okay, oh, that does actually make sense, because obviously Ofsted is for state schools, grammar schools as well.
Yeah, so, but you know, I've just thought as we're saying that, I have no idea, it's really bad, what Ofsted actually stands for. The Office of Standards in Education?
Oh, yeah. You're, I
think that's
a
really good
right.
quiz question that we should probably know the answer to.
I have to look that one up.
Yeah.
It's like knowing all the acronyms, like obviously that's probably going to be another one that we need to know. But yeah, we wanted to basically talk about our experiences of Ofsted or the ISI. We were at a school together when it got Ofsted-ed, and I have very recently been Ofsted-ed at my current school twice, in fact, last year and literally last month.
And the school that we worked at together, you were Ofsted-ed at.
So and they saw me, observed me, it was like a full-on, for me it was very full-on.
Yeah, so have you had four Ofsted inspections in total?
Across my career I had four Ofsted inspections that I have actually been part of. There, although on the most recent two, which I will speak about, I didn't get seen at all, so it felt like I wasn't even almost like part of the actual Ofsted inspection because there's so many teachers sometimes.
Yeah, they just can't. So I've been in two ISI inspections and this will link to our breakdown banter in a second, sort of two Ofsteds.
Oh yeah. No, it won't link to our breakdown banter because we changed it.
Oh, we did change it. Oh, okay. It's a really good breakdown banter. We've got so many funny stories between us. I'll have to save that for another time.
So to start off with break time banter, I thought I wanted to make it Ofsted related.
Yes.
And my current school got Ofsted-ed last year as a Section 8 inspection. If you know what Section 8 if you don't know what it is, it basically is a short inspection to determine whether the school would have stayed as a good school or if it was going from good to outstanding. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't actually give you an outstanding rating in this one. They just say, yes, you are working towards an outstanding.
Okay.
If they give you that, then they will come back within 2 years and they will do a full, I think it's called a section something inspection, I can't remember, section 10 inspection, where it's literally a 48-hour inspection and it's a full inspection.
To see if you can get to that outstanding.
Right.
Or if it's different.
Or if you just stay as good and that's fine. So very recently, last month, we got our full inspection. Mm-hmm. So that's why in the last year and a bit I've been subject to two Ofsted inspections. And on the first one where they were doing the short inspection, they only sent, I want to say, two inspectors because it's a short inspection, so they don't send as many inspectors. They usually send around five. Mm. They didn't. They just sent two. And I was asked by my line manager, oh, do you mind taking this inspector to the library to go to the student panel, because that's where all the students were. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, me being my very chatty self, trying to make small talk with the Ofsted inspector, I'm like, oh, so, because, you know, it was a bit of an awkward one, because this guy wasn't very chatty at all. And I'm thinking, is he just doing his, like, Ofsted, you know, like, role persona that he needs to be, like, you know, not approachable, like, oh, I need to give that tough person, you know, idea, like, actually I can't be like a nice person because that's the idea that you get of Ofsted. Or was he just like a shy guy, like that didn't really want to speak and have loads of chatting? But what had happened was, because we were waiting outside the library for quite a long time, because I don't know, there was a class in there or something, we were waiting. I thought, well, I can't just stand here in silence. To feel the silence. Like, I'm just not one of those people. I have to talk. Hence why we have made a podcast. So I was like, what can I talk to a random Ofsted inspector about Well, I know that all Ofsted inspectors have either been teachers at one point in time or are currently teachers, usually members of SLT. So I was like, oh, what school are you currently like working at? Or what school, I think I said, what? Yeah, what school are you currently at the moment? Just thinking, oh, it's going to be a bit small talk. And he just looked at me like with such a dirty look. And I was like, oh my God, I've made a mistake. Like in my head, I was like, and he was like, I can't tell you that because it would mean that I'm being biased. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realise, you know, I just assumed, you know, you're a teacher or you've been a teacher. And then, like, after the very awkward silence, after about a minute of silence, he then just turned around to me and said, oh, actually, you know what? I can tell you. I used to be a head teacher. I'm not actually teaching anymore. And it used to be in a school in another county. So he was like, don't worry, like, you won't know the school anyway. And I was like, oh, okay. But by this point, I was literally like, oh my God, don't say anything else.
Anything
because
else.
Otherwise, I'm just going to piss this inspector off. And, you know, I'm going to make the school fail. I'm pleased to say that we passed that inspection with the good going towards outstanding,
yeah.
Which meant that they were impressed with what they saw, yeah. And that we were going to have a full inspection within the 2 years, which we did get a month ago, or about 3 weeks ago now. It was very, very recently.
Yeah.
And so that obviously didn't affect it.
But how weird of him. Like, why did he kind of shut it down and then a minute later just, so he obviously kind of thought,
I think he felt the awkwardness and like the fact that I was like, oh my God, I was so apologetic, yeah. Because I was thinking, I was just trying to make small talk, yeah. I don't really want to know where you were,
but why did he say,
I don't really
want to,
like, you know,
why did he so angrily whatever shut it down,
interested
it seems, yeah.
in your like life, yeah. story. But it's just that I knew that all Ofsted inspectors are either currently,
yeah,
teaching,
just something you could ask,
or someone in a school, so I just thought, oh, that's an easy win, we can speak about that. Anyway, foot in mouth, literally. I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna like make the school fail from like speaking to the Ofsted inspector. But no, I'm happy to report it was fine.
That kind of raises the point though, doesn't it? Kind of the fear that people can have around Ofsted. So you've said this completely innocuous question. You're just asking him where he works,
exactly.
And then you're feeling worried. And it just kind of tells you a lot, doesn't it, about the kind of the sense of tension that people feel.
But it leads
Ofsted.
So nicely into this episode, because that is the one major thing. And actually on our Instagram the other day, I posed a question as to whether Ofsted gave you the heebie-jeebies or like you were pretty relaxed about it, and I literally got 100% back that it gave them the heebie-jeebies, and like they would absolutely be very stressed out if they heard that Ofsted would come in, or some schools even like in the anticipation that they're gonna come, so like they know they've come to the end of the, what is it, like 4 years or five,
yeah,
years, whatever,
so they
it
know
is
it's coming.
They know it's coming, and it just, oh, the tension is palpable, like when you're in
but
a place,
do you not
like
think
that.
So much of it is the school's lead up to it, because we are both going to talk about our experiences and say that actually we found the inspections themselves not too stressful, but I think when I think back on my career, I think it was that the Ofsted year that senior leaders would keep talking about. That's what made me feel stressed. And it was that whole thing, like each week, it was always kind of by a certain day of the week and a certain time, you knew that you wouldn't have an inspection the next week. You know, oh, we've got through another week.
Yeah.
And it's that whole thing, isn't
because
it? The anticipation's worse than the actual thing
especially
itself.
Because of COVID, it's delayed a lot of the inspection. So I know with one of my friends, they're waiting, and they've been, I think it's like 10 years without an inspection.
God.
Because of COVID, and because they were an outstanding school, it was basically like COVID kind of stopped all of that for that 2 year period. So they were like, oh, okay, we'll leave the outstanding schools and we'll just kind of leave them till last. But now it's actually hell for her, because she's literally, she's like, if we don't have the call by Wednesday, and she's in SLT, so she's like, if we don't have the call by Wednesday midday, then that means they're not going to come
for the rest
that
of that week.
So it's almost like working to Wednesday every week, because
which
you're like,
that's
oh,
really stressful. Like
really
that
stressful.
Probably is more stressful than the inspection, just kind of. It's that thing we've talked about in previous episodes, just the not knowing.
Because you are in a limbo waiting for them. You know, obviously, you don't know when they're going to come. You know they're going to call by 12 o'clock the day before. So you get, like, well, you don't even get 24 hours notice, but you pretty much get like a 24 hour notice. So for the most recent one, they called at around 9 a.m. We got an email from the head teacher straight away, like an all staff email, to say like, we've had the Ofsted call, they will be coming in tomorrow. And they, I believe because Ofsted have, they've had some changes happen because, do you remember that head teacher? She committed suicide because she, her school went from outstanding to, I want to say it was like inadequate or something like that. Like it went literally from like the top to the very bottom. And it was really sad in a lot of teachers totally understood the stress and the pressure that she was put under. So because of that, there's been a lot of changes within Ofsted. So they have to, I believe, now obviously I'm not part of this process because I'm not the head teacher, but I believe they have to have a very lengthy conversation with the head teacher before they come in to let them know exactly like what they're going to be looking at. Now, I know it's only 24 hours notice, but at least
helps narrow it down.
Well, yeah, because before it was like no notice inspection. Mm. Like they'd call you and be like, we're coming tomorrow morning. Mm. And that was it. It was like, that was it. Yeah. So you were literally like, what are they looking for? And then, but now I think they specify, first of all, who they're going to deep dive the next day, which means that you can give those heads of department
a bit of a heads up,
and actually, you know, they're going to be prepared already, right? If they're in a school where they know they're expecting Ofsted, they're going to be prepared already for it. So in theory, you really shouldn't be that person staying there till, you know, God knows what time. Now, my current school, I feel like, dealt with it very well. They did provide B&R, they did provide, you know, snacks, and they said you can stay like as late as you like. I think they said they're gonna close the school at 9, but you can stay, you know, when it, but they literally, the head teacher did caveat it with, you don't have to stay. Like, you don't have to stay. Mm. Like, we're not expecting anyone to stay. But if you want to, we're keeping the school open until 9 o'clock. Now, in our old school, I would say pretty much all the members of staff stayed until, like, I mean, it was maybe past 9 o'clock because our old school was a bit crazy like that. And people were, like, you know, very much on it. And this current school, I left pretty much at my normal time. I did make sure obviously everything was prepared for the next day, but I would normally do that anyway, so it wasn't really like, you know, RE was being deep dived, so that did make it a little bit different for me because we had to meet as an RE department, and it meant that they were going to pretty much see everybody that taught in RE. Now, they didn't happen to see me because I happened to have a doctor's appointment on the day of the Ofsted, and they couldn't come and see me in that lesson that they were planning to. And they never ended up seeing me in the end. But because RE was being deep dived, it was like a little bit more on high alert, you know, just to know. But then again, maybe it's because I've been teaching a long time. I was like, they can ask me whatever they like about RE and I will have a really good answer for them. Like, that it's never going to be a case of me being unprepared in my subject. And you know, the head of department was really good. She had like all her stuff, like I said, prepared already. She sent it out to us and she was the same. She was like, you do not have to stay till like really late tonight. These are the lessons that are coming up over the next few days. They'd already said, oh, we're planning on coming into these lessons.
Okay.
Again, another change.
So that is a big change. Yeah. I think a lot of people, when they think about Ofsted, they're thinking about an Ofsted from a good 5, almost 10 years ago, aren't they? Which I think was quite a different story in terms of not knowing what might be seen, but also this expectation of having so much ready, like having so many lesson plans ready.
So one of the assistant heads showed me like the schedule on the next day when they first were in. And it, within the schedule were KIT 15 minutes, and I was like, oh, what does KIT stand for? And he said it's called Keeping in Touch 15 Minutes. That is where the Ofsted inspectors would go and have a quick chat with the head teacher just to let him know how it was going.
Right.
Again, another change that they made, because that was never the case before. So we could probably right now actually reflect back on our first experience of Ofsted, which was in our old school, and I'd only been teaching maybe like 3 or 4 years. It was like, no, maybe 3 years. I think it was the first year we were in the school. I can't remember now. Just thinking back to T4.
Yeah.
But it was...
You were like third or fourth year of teaching and I was fourth or fifth year of
teaching. Yeah, like we were pretty fresh into it still. And there was this air of, oh my God, Ofsted are coming, like, what are we going to do? Like, we must, you know, be perfect, basically. Mm. And, you know, we spoke a little bit about having like a lesson plan for every single lesson.
But I mean, that was in a school where we had to have lesson plans for every single lesson, regardless of maybe whether or not it was Ofsted.
Well, that is a conversation for another time, but yeah.
But also as well, that was a startup school. So this was their first ever Ofsted inspection. Yeah, so I think that added to the pressure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was just a kind of, I don't want to use the word toxic. I think together, new school, quite demanding senior leaders. Yeah. I think the way it was set up, that was a particularly stressful place.
And it was a really young staff body.
Yeah.
No one had kids. Yeah. No one had kids. Not when we were first Ofsted.
Yeah.
So everybody was very much almost like dedicated to the calls. So it was, that's what I mean by people stayed till like super late, you know, planning every kind of instance of the lesson, like what could happen in that hour lesson. And from what I remember, now, maybe I'm remembering differently to how it happened, but from what I remember, we did not get told, like in this most recent one, oh, they're most likely to come into your lesson.
No, we had no idea. I think no what idea. We thought was, once you've been seen once, you probably wouldn't get seen again. But then I think someone did get seen twice. So I think it was almost like you couldn't relax because you're like, they could come in to any lesson at any point.
Now, saying that, they did in my current school just go and see whatever lessons they liked as well. Mm. On the second day, though. So the first day was very, like, organised and they literally were like, nope, we're going to go into this lesson. These are the deep dives we're going to do.
Mm.
So what I've heard is, this is how they do it now. The first day is a day of, like, basically seeing where they think you're currently at, right? Mm-hmm. So with them, it was to determine, are they a good going towards outstanding school still? Like, are we, you know, going to give them the outstanding potentially or not?
Yeah.
The second day was, like, confirm it, basically. Okay. So that first day was like, okay, we've kind of
got our idea of
this is what it's going to be. The second day was like, right, this is our time to confirm it. So the second day was less organised in terms of, right, we're going to this, this and this. What they did was they found holes in the first day that they needed to kind of go over some more. So for us, they'd said, like, we want to see more SEN, for example. We want to see more, they were happy with all the deep dives. So they pretty much told the RE department, well, they're pretty much not going to come and see you.
Okay.
You could be seen,
But they're very happy with what they've seen
in RE already on the first day. They pretty much want to go and see all the other subjects now that they're not deep diving, but they want to go and, you know, have a... I know one teacher did get seen three different times over the 2 days, and that just goes to show they can just then go off and, like, walk into lessons. Yeah. But they should always be with a member of staff at the school.
Right.
So they're not really just going off and, like, wondering about the school by themselves. They can, I think, if they want to, but usually that's not really a kind of done thing. And I think the reason why is because they can ask questions to that person, like, that they're with. So if they've got a question about that lesson, they can say, oh, you know, do these teachers know that these kids have got EHCPs? How do they know that? Like, what's the... So, because you can't really interrupt the teacher.
Yeah.
And ask them those things in the middle of the lesson. But yeah, I felt like it was much more relaxed at this school because they knew more of what was going on.
Do you think it's also, though, as we've kind of been saying, that Ofsted itself has got better? So we were talking, weren't we, before the podcast about how now there's not an expectation for you to have a written lesson plan.
Yeah, that is
so
very true.
I think back when, in my 20s, the thought that, you know, I could look at, I've got 2 6 period days, so there's 12 possible lessons they come into.
Oh,
I have
thing,
to have 12 written up lesson plans.
Yeah.
And I think what's stressful is that you already know you've got good lessons and you don't need to do that written lesson plan to make a good lesson. So it's the extra time it takes to do admin, which is not making anyone have a better lesson, but you have to have it ready. And it's that kind of fear of, like, oh, have I got enough resources to give to the inspector when they come in? Whereas now...
Because what is the thing now they say, like, they don't need to see a lesson plan, they need to see evidence of a planned lesson. So, like, as long as they can tell...
Yeah.
by watching the lesson that there has
been a plan. Planning happening.
So that they don't need to see a physical like plan of your lesson. Yeah. And actually, I think if you gave it to them, they probably wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, because all it is really, it makes so much more sense, doesn't it? That's just something that you say you're going to do. Yeah. Whereas you're physically there, an inspector in a lesson, watch the lesson. And you actually, see the planning in action.
All we were asked from, by the SLT to give the Ofsted inspector was our seating plan with the like SEN needs, etc. Which is fair. I think that's absolutely
fair.
And
you would have one of them.
You've got that anyway. Because... So it was literally about just printing that off, making sure it was there. Yeah. You know, if someone came in,
I think
you could
once
just hand
you
it to
know
them.
That an inspection doesn't actually involve any more work for you than normal because you already know you're a good teacher.
Yeah.
You're not making anything in addition that is a bit unnecessary. It does take the stress out of it a bit because you're just like, I know I teach good lessons.
It's interesting because one of the head of departments, his department did not get deep dives on the first day. Mm. And on the second day, he had a funeral to go to. And he came, we were just having a chat. This was like when we'd got the call and we, you know, and he's like, I'm going to have to say, like, oh, you know, if you don't want me to go to the funeral, like, I won't go because, you know, maybe my department's going to get deep dived on the second day. But he basically said to the head teacher, listen, like, I get it. You know, if you don't want me to go, like, I won't go. The head said, no, it should be running as a normal
school. It should be running as a
school.
Normal school.
And the maths department had a sickness bug on the first day of Ofsted, a sickness bug, four teachers were out in maths. But again, they explained to Ofsted, and my experience this time was really good experience. Like they explained that, listen, you know, some of these teachers are gonna be cover teachers, like you can go into the lesson by all means, but you're not gonna see a specialist maths teacher
teaching
the lesson.
But you might see something useful. You might see how cover works at our school, but go in with those expectations rather than a history lesson that's run by a non-specialist.
Obviously the head and the SLT want that outstanding, like 100%. Like I'm not saying that at all. And all the teachers want to get that for their school as well. You know, I know that. But I feel like my head was very pragmatic about it, and that definitely filtered down onto the members of staff. And he was like, no, like this is a school and this is going to run as a school. If teachers are off sick, then they're off sick. Yeah. If you've got a funeral to go to, you've got a funeral to go to. This, you know, I had a doctor's appointment already booked in. I couldn't cancel that, even if I wanted to. It's just the NHS. I'm not going to be able to do that. I had less than 24 hours notice.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they made you feel bad because you were just doing your normal, you know, teaching life, which, you know, that is what it is. Whereas in our old school, 100%, like, we would have been made to feel like, oh, if you had a funeral, you weren't going to that funeral. Yeah. If you had, like, a doctor's appointment, you weren't going to that doctor's appointment. Yeah. Like, don't even dare go to that. Do you know what I mean? So it's more like maybe not just the pressure of Ofsted, but the pressure of the people within the school.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think the Ofsted that we have today and also the ISI that we have today needn't be something to fear. Yeah. It's how senior leaders decide to deal with it that makes staff bodies
feel
like,
because they were not they weren't relaxed. I'm not going to say they were relaxed because obviously Ofsted were coming, but because of their attitude to it, it felt like, okay, like, well, I'm just going to come in and do my normal job.
They might have felt stressed, but they didn't pass that stress on to you, and they made you feel that you're already doing a good job, do your normal job, and that's what's going to pull us through.
And funnily enough, on the second day, like, I hadn't been seen at all, and basically, by the second day, like, by about 10 o'clock, I thought, well, I'm not going to get seen, because my only other lesson was in the afternoon, and by that point, they're kind of, on the second day, they're already in, like, negotiation talks in the afternoon, so they're not out and about. So I was like, okay, I'm not gonna get seen. So I'm like in my office, like doing my head of year stuff, and then like the deputy head like runs in because this Ofsted inspector had asked her something that she didn't necessarily have the answer for, like there and then. I was the person in the office where she was. So she ran in and she was like, can you just find out this like bit of information for me? Because I need to like run back in there and, you know, be stood with him basically. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. But I found it out for her and like everything was fine and she was able to speak to him about it. But it's, obviously she was stressed. But I didn't feel, I think I said this to you at the time, maybe I should have felt stressed, but I just didn't.
No, you shouldn't, but I think that's a sign of good senior leaders. You probably are going to feel a bit stressed if you're the head teacher, because it's ultimately down, not ultimately down to you, but you.
Oh, well, that's it's a reflection on you, isn't
it? And it's a big part of your role as a head teacher, isn't it, to kind of guide your school through inspections. But a good head teacher won't pass on that stress to everyone else. They'll just kind of show their faith in them. And
yeah, and maybe that, I mean, we've spoken about this before, obviously the trust was not there in our old school.
Yeah, like, it's all about trust.
And so I felt like the SLT trusted us to just do our job and do what we do every single day, which is go and teach. And they've hired us for that role. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, they're the ones that have hired us for that. So, you know, and yeah. Like, overall, I felt this was so much better than the last one. And I just wanted to kind of speak to people about the fact that try not to be scared of it. Like, they are just normal people. Yeah. I know they don't seem like it because you're so kind of thinking about the bad things that can happen and the incredibly sad thing that happened with that head teacher before. But they... I do feel like they are trying to change.
Yeah, I do. And I also get the impression that kind of people, especially because my previous role was training up new teachers, I feel that new teachers find the Ofsted experience very stressful, which is understandable. But I guess it's them also realising that these Ofsted inspectors know that you're a brand new teacher. They're not expecting you to do something that someone that's been teaching for 10 years can do. They know who the NKTs are. They know who's in their second year of ECT.
They had focus on ECTs. Yeah. That was one of their focuses.
And, but the focus will be on kind of how well they're being trained as well, won't it? It's not like, are these ECTs
performing well enough? And I think they've done like specific staff interviews for ECTs to again see how are they being supported, you know, do they feel that it's a good school to work in. Because another thing that Ofsted do when they're there is they send out a staff survey, they send out a parental survey, so it's
and
not
a student survey.
And a student survey, so it's not just about what they see in the classroom, it is about a holistic view
and
of
I
the
think
school.
That's what's becoming more and more apparent, isn't it? So it's not all on that one 15 minutes that they watch you.
Exactly.
And also they're looking, as you say, they're not looking for that lesson plan, they're looking for evidence of planning. They're looking at the books, they're looking at the kids showing their progress. And if you know that day in, day out, you're a good teacher, then it's kind of like you don't have to put so much pressure on these 2 days.
Exactly. They had like a particular interest in students with EHCPs, which is, understandable, like with ECTs. Like,
I'm just saying we're thinking using so many acronyms.
EHCP is an educational healthcare plan, and is when a student has an SEN need where they've got an EHCP. Now, some SEN students don't have EHCPs, but this is a governmental document that essentially provides money to the school to provide support for that specific child. And so they had a particular interest in those. Fair enough, they picked that out as something that they wanted to really kind of dig deep into. And we were, you know, but after the first day, we were given a debrief by the head teacher. Like, we had a Teams meeting, we were given like a good like 15 minute debrief. This is what they want to see tomorrow. You know, this is what they're going to kind of be looking for. They're looking at students with EHCPs. Just be prepared. If you've got a student with an EHCP in your lesson, they might come and see them, because they were basically, they'd picked a couple of students that they were following through their day. So like to see, you know, are they getting the same experience as the other students in the school?
Yeah.
Are they getting taught the same content? Yeah. Because that's the whole point.
And also, I guess, are a selection of teachers fully aware of the needs of that particular plan?
Exactly.
Are they all catering to
Because them? On an EHCP, it will have specific things like, do not ask direct questions to this student or something. Whereas if you're like cold calling the student, you clearly don't know what's on the EHCP. It's really hard for teachers, actually, because I've got a kid on an EHCP who I only teach once a week. And it's like, I genuinely probably don't know everything on his EHCP, but I try to kind of know the general like premise of it and what he needs support with and what he doesn't.
And you can do things
like
when you talked about your seating plan, you know, you might have some colour-coded things on there that reminds you what you need to do for that particular child.
Oh, but that was another thing. They were checking to see, like, if it said, you know, sit them at the front of the classroom. Are they actually sat at the front of the classroom, or are they sat at the back corner where they shouldn't be? So those kind of things are something to just be aware of. But again, really, your SLT will tell you what Ofsted have told them. Mm. They're not going to keep it secret from the teachers, mm. because actually you're the ones on the ground, you're the ones that are being seen, mm. and they want you to know as much information as yeah. possible. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't know that you didn't get Ofsted at a private school, that you got these inspections, but maybe you can just say what the differences
so,
are.
They're really similar.
Yeah.
And they very much look at any time Ofsted implement a change, normally a very similar change is okay. implemented by the Independent Schools Inspectorate. Because I remember there was something a few years ago where Ofsted started to look at staff well-being as
yes.
part of their...
That's a massive thing
yeah.
in Ofsted at
and
the
I
moment.
Remember we were going to get inspected probably that year for mm. ISI. And there was nothing on the ISI kind of criteria that mm. mirrored that. Mm. And I remember actually phoning up ISI to ask them about it. And they were like, oh, yeah, we probably will do that like next year. We normally kind of follow what Ofsted do the year after. And I was thinking, oh, my God, so you're fully aware that you don't incorporate staff wellbeing at the yeah. moment, but you'll probably do it next year. That was quite a few years ago, so they now do. And I've just been through a recent ISI last academic year. And really similar experiences to what you're saying yeah. about Ofsted now. It's wasn't a stressful experience. I'm not going to pretend there was no stress at all, but I think the stress was more in the leading up to it. The yes. whole, especially being a part-time member of staff, I was always aware that possibly they could get the call on
and
my non-working
been,
day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, it's my non-working day. And I say non-working day, but I'm looking after my child.
Yeah.
So if I suddenly find out our school's having an inspection tomorrow, I've got a three-year-old that I'm trying to entertain
yeah, yeah,
whilst
yeah,
making
course.
Sure my lessons are ready. So I did find the lead up to it quite stressful,
mm.
Partly because of being part-time, actually. But the actual inspection itself, again, it was fine. Like they...
Yeah.
I think they the inspectors made a real effort to show that they were nice, normal
yeah.
humans. They
yeah,
they
yeah,
all
yeah.
said which schools they were head teachers of, and they gave a brief kind of resume, so we all knew who they were. So they just felt a bit more human.
Yeah.
We didn't have it that someone from school would be with them, so they would just kind of could wander
just
out.
Just literally go wherever they
anywhere.
Like.
But I guess if they had any questions, they then had a member of SLT they could direct them back to. Yeah, everything about it was fine. We didn't have to give them any lesson plans. I think similar to the seating plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess there's that whole thing, isn't there? So I did get seen, and actually I got seen accidentally. They were trying to go into
oh.
a classics lesson.
Okay.
And the classics teacher couldn't get the board working, or something happened. We swapped classrooms or something.
Oh,
happened.
So they thought they were coming
exactly
into
it.
Okay.
But he actually said to me, he was like, so what is this lesson? I was like, a history lesson. He was like, oh, okay, I was supposed to be in classics. I was like, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? And he's like, and he actually said to me, he's like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, well, you're here. Do you want to stay?
Yeah.
And he was like, sure. So then he watched my history lesson instead. But obviously from his point of view, they weren't doing a deep dive of classics.
Yeah.
They just obviously had this criteria, not criteria, but so they just obviously made a sort of rough plan that he was going to be one of the inspectors seeing classics. And instead, that particular lesson, he saw a history lesson.
I mean, history is
part
of classics.
Yeah, it's very,
anyway,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, they were seeing similar sorts of skills and things.
Yeah.
And yeah, stayed for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he, what do I remember about it? I remember that he was moving along around the classroom a lot. He obviously was speaking to students. He was like looking at their
yeah.
work over their shoulders. He was just trying to get a real holistic picture. So it didn't feel too stressful. It didn't feel like he was hanging off my every word and, you know, looking at a written lesson plan and seeing
no,
exactly
same.
What
I
should be doing.
I didn't get seen.
He's just getting a flavour for the place.
I didn't get seen this time or the last time, but I did get seen both times mm-hmm. at our old school. And yeah, they did. They don't feel like they're necessarily observing just you. They are looking at the books. They
mm.
are they are speaking to children.
Mm.
And so you don't feel too like under
yeah.
the pump to just
yeah.
like perform, you
yeah.
know, and do.
And linked to that, that just made me think of another thing. So I'm also a primary school governor,
mm.
and that primary school in the next year or so is expecting an inspection. And obviously part of what they're doing is they're looking at governors. And I think that kind of helps take the pressure off teachers a little bit, because a big part of the mark is how well the governors are working with SLT, what the governors know about safe
yeah.
learning, and that all contributes to the final grade as well.
Yeah,
and I feel
definitely.
Like as a teacher, you can feel like everything's on you, but it's like, actually,
no,
it's really
not.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Mm.
And know that it is a bit of a stressful experience, but know that it's not all on you.
Yeah. I think like, I've been very fortunate to be at schools where they've been good or outstanding.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing I'm going to caveat it with, is that if I was at a school that was facing a lower grade, like a 3 or a 4.
Or the already at a very low grade and they're trying to...
I don't think it would be such a peaceful experience as what I've experienced.
And then neither one of us have that experience, do we? We've only ever worked... No. I've only ever worked at schools being inspected that are already... outstanding.
I've worked at schools that are lower, but I've never had an Ofsted inspection in those schools, so I won't be able to talk about that experience. And I can imagine that is a very different side of things, because if you're facing that kind of bottom end of their inspection, it must be quite difficult.
But I guess also, and maybe you and I don't know enough about this, but I guess it's kind of how the process works. So if you've had, you know, not very good first Ofsted inspection, how much time
supposed to come back
given?
Within like a year or two. I think so. I think if you get a 4, which is inadequate, then they come back really quickly. It's like within 6 months, I think, something like that.
So I guess it's within that, are they actually giving the school enough time to improve?
Soon,
because if they're not, then that is going to be a stressful experience. If you've got a full 6 months to make changes, and the senior leaders do make changes that work for everyone, then maybe it doesn't feel so stressful, because maybe you, as that member of staff that was there 6 months ago,
would actually
and then
be,
now you can see this is a very different school. We are definitely not going to get a 4 again. We know that this is better. Maybe we're not outstanding yet, but they're not, no one's going to
but going
that.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe you kind of, so I guess it depends what changes get made before the next inspection as to how stressed you'll feel at that next inspection.
Definitely. I think that actually leads really nicely into our get in the bin, because we're talking about different gradings. So do you want to do your get in the bin?
So my get in the bin, so there's a app called Teacher Tap, and that's Tap with 2 P's. So I've been part of it for quite a long time now, quite a few years. And what they do, for anyone that doesn't know what it is, they ask you 3 to 4 questions every day. You don't have to answer them every day, but they're multiple choice. And you pick one of 4 responses, or sometimes multiple ones. And the idea is, there's, I don't know how many they've currently got, but last time I looked at it a year or so ago, they had a good 7,000-8,000 people that are part of this app that are all teachers. That could be primary school teachers, private school, secondary, lots of different things. And what they're doing is just building up a bank of research from all these teachers asking them questions. And just the other day, one of the questions was, would you rather keep Ofsted how it is with its grading system, or would you rather they just change to a pass-fail? Now, I went with my gut, but then thought about it again. I was like, no, it's still what I think. And I went with the pass-fail. And then we've had a brief discussion about this. So in terms of it being a get in the bin, I would personally get in the bin the current Ofsted grading system. Because as a parent and as a governor of a primary school, I do feel like, and I don't want to give non-teacher parents a bad name or anything, but I feel people quite often invest way too much in the Ofsted grading, and they don't necessarily know what goes into making that school outstanding, whereas that one's good. And we've talked about this before. We've both worked in schools that are supposedly outstanding, but we wouldn't send our own children there. And I've equally worked in schools that are good, or know of schools that are good, and I would absolutely send my children there.
Yeah, because just because they've been given a good doesn't mean that they're not as good as these outstanding schools. It just means that on the day of the Ofsted inspections, they've done something differently, or shown
over, depending on when they got inspected, it might be that
it could
actually
have improved since the inspection.
Yeah, some inspections are, you know, as you said with your friend, that, you know, they're so overdue in inspections. So yeah, maybe they were outstanding 10 years ago, but they're not anymore. But also, it's like, what is outstanding? It's so kind of,
it is subjective.
Yeah,
and
it's so,
you know,
subjective.
So if you take away the grading system, then, you know, even if they've passed, they could have passed and been a good school. They could have passed. I mean, an outstanding school.
And what I like about it, so in terms of the go for the win, go for this pass fail, I think it has to be very clear what has to go wrong for you to fail. And you don't want to accidentally throw a school under the bus and call it a failing school. But if you as a parent are then trying to decide between, I don't know, six local primary schools, and you know they're all passes,
then actually you're going to use your
own judgment research and judgment. And I just think everyone gets swayed, like, oh, that school's outstanding, that one's good. And it's like, what does that even mean? What does that actually mean to you? And also, even if that one school supposedly is slightly better according to Ofsted criteria, does that mean it's a better school for your child? Whereas if you just knew all these schools are passes, you could then just go along and just think, okay, is this school the right fit for my child? Yeah, this school is
a better fit for me and my child.
It's almost like the Ofsted grading's putting words into your mouth already and making you think this school's better than this school.
And it's like,
your school has to be right for your child. So yeah, I think I would be on board with that.
Okay, well maybe we'll do a little poll online and see if we do pass, fail, or grading should stay.
Maybe fail, I do know, I kind of add to that. I think fail seems like a really hard word as well, because it's like people...
Yeah, maybe they need to change
that. So I think my point is, wording. I don't like that there's different levels of passing at the moment.
Mm.
I don't like the word fail, but I feel like you should be able to do your own research, go visit schools and make up your own mind, rather than being told... This one's outstanding, this one's good.
Yeah, I see that for definite. Okay, all right. Definitely food for thought. Thanks for listening. And that will conclude the end of our March episodes, because the last Sunday in March is Easter. So we decided that we're going to take a break for that 1 week.
Yeah, be happy teachers.
Start of the Easter holidays. Yeah. Join us back in April, where we'll be having many more chats about being a happy teacher. And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you. Bye.